Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
My name is Aaron Varner. If you've forgotten who I am, I have the great privilege of being the senior pastor here at West Hill Baptist Church. I make that joke because I've been away for a few weeks, and Lisa and I had a wonderful time with our family and with some friends, and just enjoying a different routine. And so grateful for you. Thank you for your prayers. Thanks for those who have filled the gaps during this time away. And one of the things that we continue to go back, Pastor David and I talk a lot about, is just the health of our church and the fact that we can get away so easily in a way. Sometimes it's hard for me too, but that's my own self problem, not the church's problem. But just how easy it is just to see you as a church function and worship and honor the Lord and continue to be faithful. And so grateful for that, grateful to be with you this morning, and glad to open up the Word with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles and you're willing and able, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to just again thank those who have worked so hard. Summer's coming to a close, and we're getting ready to get ready to start school and all that is involved with school, and it's exciting. I am super excited to get back into a normal routine. I love it when summer comes because I like getting out of the normal routine, but maybe I'm just getting old, and so I'm ready for that routine again just to be able to have it. And check with me in about 6 weeks, and I'll be ready for some other change. But excited to start a new series with you this morning as we walk through what we'll call practicing godliness. Practicing godliness and living satisfied. This will be a 5-week series as we walk through. When I was laying out our year of sermons and talking through, just wanting to work through being satisfied in God, and with our theme verse from 1 Timothy, it talks about how we ultimately have this contentment in God, but it starts off, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so as I was kind of looking through that, I knew we'd walk through the book of Ecclesiastes and talk about contentment a lot. But one of the things that I want to do here in the next 5 weeks is really focus in about godliness. What does it mean to be godly, and how do we go about this? And our passage today in 1 Timothy will help springboard us into this idea of what does it look like to practice godliness. Godliness is something that's critical and important for our lives if we're children of God. It's something that God calls us to. It's to be more like God, not in and of ourselves, but we want to, we have the name Christians. We have the name, we're little Christ. We represent Christ. We live out Christ in our lives, and we do that through living out godliness. And so what does that look like is what we're going to be looking at. So we're going to talk about this idea of training our heart this morning. And so train yourself for godliness. As we will see here, godliness is a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And what we see there is the intentionality of that of training our heart and then practicing as we live. So today we're going to talk about training our heart, and then the next 4 weeks, that practicing out. We've got to train our heart so then we practice what we're learning, what's in our heart. Training the heart is not legalism. It's not behavior modification. It's not trying harder in order to earn God's love. We train because we belong to Christ. We train our hearts because we are His. Our hearts are His. He's our God and He's our Lord. And so as we start this intro, just ask you this question. What are you training for? Some of you aren't training for anything. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm just saying you're not training for anything. Like when we think of training, the Browns have gone through their training camp and they went to the next phase and showed us who they really are yesterday. But we'll keep praying that maybe one day a winner will show up. but they're working hard in training, right? Training camp. They work hard in learning the plays, working together, and as a team coming together, not just individually anymore, now together as a group. When we think about training, I have the great privilege this year, this fall, of being the head coach at Lake Center Christian for our boys and girls and junior high cross country team. And one of the things that as you think about training, it's important to have a few things, right? Like shoes. It's important to have good shoes. And they have these really cool watches now that tell you what your heart rates are. And so that helps me keep grounded a little bit, because when I start running with these young kids and then my heart rate goes really, really high, like 180, then I realize I've got to slow down. I'm not quite as young as I once was. And so a watch is helpful. They have these apps, like there's all kinds of different apps, but the app that we use is called Strava. Strava is an app that you can take your run and you upload it. And so you see it there. And so you can see, if you go on Strava, you can see my workout from yesterday and how fast I ran or how slow I ran and where my heart rate was. And it's cool to see it all together, the elevation and all the different things that technology allows us. Which is really cool. You can even put together a calendar, like a training calendar. I've been working on that for our teams so that we can lay out in the weeks to come, so that we know by the time we get to postseason at district and regional, when we want to advance to the state meet, what our calendar and our training looks like. So the calendar is important. Again, we know that socially it helps us to have accountability. And so we have these tools, and we can see, we can be a part of different groups on social media that help encourage us. And then we have to show up, right? We can show up and we can be there. All of that is helpful as we train. Like, think if you're going to train to be a runner, you want all those things. They're helpful. All right. They're good tools to have: shoes, a watch, an app, a calendar, a group of people behind you, and then you show up. But these are only tools. They may help assist you, but they will not get you in shape. As much as I've tried to look at my shoes, especially during the wintertime, and ask them to go run for me, they don't move without me in them, all right? They aren't going to help me run a 5K. My watch, as much as I want to program it, isn't going to go out and get me into shape. It doesn't work that way. I have to train. Training is different than saying that I will train. As I've gotten older, I've gotten really good at saying, I'll do that tomorrow, especially when the weather's bad, right? And the winter months are always my worst. And I love to be able to say, man, I'll do that tomorrow. It's too cold out. Or, you know, I'm really tired today. I'll do it tomorrow. I will. It's not just about saying it. You can, when we think about this idea of godliness, you can say, man, I really admire godliness. I admire that person who's really godly. You can talk about godliness, all the right things that godliness is and represents and should be. You can talk till you're blue in the face. You can study about godliness. You can learn all the facts about godliness. You can wish that you were more godly. You can say, I really want to be godly, and yet not be serious about living a godly life. So I go to the great Master Yoda in his words. I say this often to my runners. Do or do not. There is no try. And ultimately, as we think about this idea of godliness, the same can be true for many of us. I've seen it, I've heard it, and I want us to be a church that just doesn't talk about godliness, but that is truly living it out. We're in the process. We're training. We are doing it. Not one day, not down the road, but doing it. We've been talking about contentment and all that contentment looks like. But remember what Paul says, Godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you're willing and able and you can stand with me, would you stand? And we're just going to read two verses, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and then we'll have a word of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Would you pray with me, Lord? Thank you for the opportunity to worship you here today. We thank you for the songs that we've sung, that we've been able to just think about the precious words and the preciousness of your very character, how good you are, how faithful you are, and how holy you are. And Lord, thank you that we have the privilege of being your children and that we get to strive to be like you, knowing that you live inside of us as your followers, as Christ followers. Lord, we have everything that we need right at our fingertips in order to live godly lives. And so, Lord, I pray that as we walk through this passage this morning, that you would encourage our hearts, you would challenge us and convict us, that your spirit would move freely among us, Lord, that we may see the things that you want us to see. And Lord, that we wouldn't just see them, but that we would take the appropriate actions that your spirit is asking us to take. We wouldn't just try, Lord, we would do it. So Lord, help us this morning to be open, to listen, and then respond to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Four points that I want to give us this morning as we look at godliness. Godliness requires, first here, we see godliness requires intentional training. Intentional training. When we look at this verse in verse 7, this idea of training yourself for godliness, the Greek word for train there is gymnazo, or it comes from a word that our term comes from this, gymnasium. It's an athletic term, which easily fits into that. I know, Ray, thank you for preaching last week. He talked about football a little bit and seemed apprehensive talking about athletics. I make no apology. I talk about athletics all the time, partly because Paul talks about it all the time. And so one of the things that we see here is here Paul's using this term and he helps us to start to understand that there's an athletic aspect of our training, of godliness that goes into this. When you go to the gym, what do? There are some who go to the gym and they just want to look stylish, right? There's others that go to the gym just to say they went to the gym. And then there's others who go to get a workout, right? Hopefully you go to get a workout and you say, hey, I went to the gym today and this is what I did. Not, I went to the gym and I looked really good, or it looked good on me. When we think of this idea, Paul again helps us to see this training is intentional. There's an intentionality that we have to have, because training isn't just going to happen. Which should help us to see godliness is not just going to happen. We have to be in the Word. We have to listen to the Spirit of God that resides in us as Christ followers, but it's not just going to take place. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It's not automatic. And what we see and we're reminded of, time does not automatically produce maturity. Meaning that as you get older, it doesn't mean that you're getting more mature. I've been around a lot of old people, shouldn't say old, seasoned people. That's usually my term I go to. Seasoned people who are not mature. Now, maybe they're mature in their manners and in the way they conduct themselves, but they're not mature in godliness. And so just because you are getting older doesn't mean that you are getting more godly. And so as we think about this, understand and know, again, it takes intentionality, and hopefully our goal is as we grow older that we will become more godly, more mature, But understand that you don't become godly just because you get older. The second is proximity to spiritual things isn't the same thing as practicing godliness. Meaning this, it takes me back to an old Garfield comic that I read when I was a kid. When he went to bed at night and he strapped all of his books to his head and he said, "I'm going to learn by osmosis." And that way in the morning when he woke up, he knew everything he needed to know for class. Listen, to be around godliness isn't going to be good enough for you. All right, you can tie God's word to your head and go to sleep at night and think, "Oh, I'm close to God's word, and so it's going to help me grow." We know that would be kind of silly, right? Like, we need to be in God's word. We need to know it. We need to study it. We need to understand it. And part of that is this idea of I have to be practicing. I'm not just being around it. It is not going to be something that just automatically happens. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you're going to be more godly. While it may help you in certain areas of your life, as we think about this idea of godliness, again, just being here on a Sunday morning is not going to help you become more like Jesus Christ. What's your heart? What's your attitude? What is it involved? And that's our next point here. Training involves intentional repetition. Coming to church is a helpful tool if your heart and your mind are in the right place. So training involves being intentional, an intentional repetition. When we think about this, you can begin to practice something that you weren't very good at the beginning. Right. I remember when I was playing basketball as a young middle schooler, playing for our team, trying to figure out and to learn how to shoot left-handed layups with your left hand and with your left leg going up. Like, because right was natural. You dribble, boom, there you go. Teaching you about basketball skills here. Left-handed, you're on the left side of the basket, and that's because then somebody would have to reach across in order to block the shot. All right, they're probably going to foul you. So if you lay it up with your right hand, they're going to be easily able to do it. But if you go up with your left, they have to come across to you. Well, as a seventh grader, I wasn't very good with my left hand, with my left leg. Like I struggled. Sometimes I felt like I was doing a dance. And if you know me, you know I don't dance well. And so it was hard. And so that awkwardness of getting that left-handed layup over and over again, I had to keep practicing it. And I remember being in the gym at Norton Baptist while my mom was the church secretary and just going down to the gym and just continually doing that over and over again so that repetition of something that was unnatural would just become natural for me. Now, I'd like to say that every time I play basketball and I go for a left-handed layup now, I do that, but I don't. So, because it's still hard. It still takes a conscious effort. And so I want you to think about that in your own life. What's something that you've become good at? The truth is you practiced in order to become good at that. You probably weren't really good at it in the very beginning. It's something that you refined and you continued to work at it. You continued to do it until what was unnatural or what was okay became even better. And so when we think about this, we want to have habits that help train our hearts. All right. And so these habits are part of what God can do as He trains our hearts. And part of that is a list here, but it doesn't end in this list. And so part of what we want to do too is we want to repeat what is right. Part of our training is training what is the correct way of doing it. So if I were doing those left-handed layups and using my left hand, but my right leg would go up, I was doing it incorrectly. We don't want to practice things wrong. We want to practice things correctly. And so practicing something wrong only makes you wronger. And I know that's not a word, but I'm helping you to see the point, right? The point is, if you continue to keep doing it, you're going to be wrong. It doesn't matter if you keep doing it the wrong way, practicing it. So we want to make sure that what we're practicing as we train ourselves for godliness, we're training our hearts in the right way. And so we do this through prayer, through reading the scripture, through being generous, through giving and extending forgiveness. Another habit that we need to, and I continue to work on, is saying no. It's okay to say no to things. In order to have a heart of gratitude, of thankfulness, of trust, where we train our heart in that habit of trusting God and then choosing joy. Some of these practicing is what are things that we are going to walk through in the weeks to come. But we want to, again, continue to think about, what am I intentionally pursuing as I'm training, asking God to train my heart? So what spiritual practices are training your heart today? Not because you believe it to be true. It's not just saying all the right words, but what are you actually practicing? Number two, next we see godliness requires rejecting the wrong training. Godliness requires rejecting the wrong training. Notice our verse here in verse 7, having nothing to do with irreverent silliness, rather train yourself for godliness. So we looked at that word train, but there's actually a word before train, right? Train yourself for godliness. There's a word there, and it says rather, which kind of helps us to see, there's a negative there followed by a positive. Train yourself. Rather looks back at what we see here earlier in the verse, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, meaning that we can get wrapped up into what is wrong training, stuff that is not going to help us as we pursue godliness. It's a negative followed by a positive. And so we can think of it as this: stop feeding yourself this and start training towards this. And so the truth is, our hearts are constantly being formed. They're constantly being fashioned. And so as we think about this, we ask ourselves, what is training me? What am I feeding my heart? We have a lot of these, right? Here's a list, but not an endless list. Phones are feeding us. Advertising, entertainment, social media, your schedule, spending, people. And a lot of what the world continues to tell us, the message that we are trained for, the message that we hear over and over again, is you. You deserve more. You are owed it. Oh, you're allowed that. And that's not what we see in Scripture. And so we allow sometimes these externals to start training our heart in such a way that our appetite then changes. And that's our next point here, our appetite. What we see is your appetite can be trained. Any of you who have had donuts before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's hard to just have one, isn't it? And Lay's potato chips, that's part of their whole commercial. You cannot just eat one. You eat one, then you have to eat another, and then you have to eat another. And we know part of our makeup and our physical body is our appetite can be trained. If you continually eat something or consume something, you begin to crave that. It's kind of like fast food. They've done studies on it. If you go without fast food for a long time, you don't have that same desire and hunger for it that if you eat it regularly. If you're wanting it regularly, you eat Taco Bell all the time, all of a sudden you're going to be sitting at home one day and you're going to be like, man, I could really eat some Taco Bell right now. Yeah. Well, our hearts are that same way as we think about the things of the world and our appetite for what fulfills us, and when we think about this idea of godliness as well. What we continually feed grows stronger. And so you think about this, this has made up so much of our lives, right? When we look at the different things that feed into comparison or materialism or outrage that then leads to anger, entertainment, because we want to hear rather than just sit in quiet. But if you think about what good we can feed, the prayer, worship, gratitude, when we feed into and allow the presence of Christ. So understand, we cannot continually feed our heart on what makes you discontent and then wonder why you're struggling to feel satisfied in God. You can't have it both ways. So if you're feeding your heart these external things from the world and the message of the world, understand and know you're not going to find satisfaction in God. It just doesn't happen like that. So what are you feeding your heart? Training our hearts is not just what I need to be doing, but also what I need to stop feeding as well. And so what are you feeding that you need to stop? Number three, godliness trains us for what matters most. Godliness trains us for what matters most. Notice the next verse. It says, for while bodily training is of some value, verse 8, godliness is of value in, notice what it says, every way. He isn't saying that bodily exercise is bad. No, we should take care of our bodies, and it's good. Physical is of some value, and yet it has its limits. And as we get older, we start to realize those limits, right? I cannot run like I used to run. It doesn't matter how much I train, I cannot run like that. And it's amazing because I see Russ Fuller, man, he defies age. He ran like under 5 minute mile. Like, that's crazy. That's so fast at his age. But the truth will, Russ will tell you that his age will eventually catch up to him. As fast as he is, he can't quite do it without the aches and pains that he now enjoys. And so we see that Paul isn't saying we need to totally disregard our bodies. No, we should take care of our bodies, and they matter because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Exercise matters. Health matters. Discipline matters in those. But eventually, what we see is the benefits of physical training ends. You can be incredibly fit and then still have an unhealthy soul. You can discipline your body while your anger can still control you. You can count all the calories that you want while still refusing to forgive someone. You can run 5 miles while still running away from God. Paul says this. He says, train for something bigger, something more important, because godliness affects everything. In every part of my life, godliness affects. It affects how I treat my wife, how I parent, how I work, how I respond when I'm criticized, how I spend money, how I handle disappointment, how I behave when no one sees me, how I respond when life doesn't go my way. Godliness is not about looking spiritual. Godliness is about becoming the kind of person whose life increasingly reflects the character of God. Godliness is that very thing. You are reflecting God. Recently, we just were loading up the bikes on our camper to take camping with us. And in doing that, I grabbed the wheel. And when I grabbed the wheel to lift it up, to hand it up to Zach, I broke off one of the reflectors on the wheel. And I thought, well, that's no big deal. We don't need it. And then it got me thinking, how important are reflectors? And if you remember back, some of you know, last year around this time, Zach was out riding and he was hit by a vehicle while he was riding his bike. And it got me just to thinking about, well, those reflectors were on there, but they evidently didn't reflect very well. And he's good. He's all good. And it's been a long journey with his wrist and all that in hand. But it just got me on this journey about how important it are reflectors. And reflectors are very important. That's why when you see runners, they'll wear those vests sometimes with reflectors on them. That's why a lot of running shoes now, they just are part of it, where the back of the shoe has some kind of reflection. When the light hits it, you're just able to see the person. We're very much more aware as we're out doing things about reflecting so that people can see. Guys, this is so crucial and important for us to understand. This is exactly what godliness is all about. We get to reflect God to others. We're showing, we're demonstrating as the light comes off of us, we get to show who God really is to others. How's your reflector? I hope it didn't break off. And if it did, today's the day where you say, you know what? We're starting. I bought a new one. We're starting over. Here's the application for point number three. What is the evidence in your training? The nice part about the evidence for me yesterday was I ran with the girls team because they're more my speed. I can do that now. But then the last mile, so I ran 5 miles with the girls. But then the boys, they came back and they had run 7 miles, and they were going to go out and run one more mile. So they were going to run a half mile out and half mile back. So they get ready and they head off, and I'm like, you know what? I really should run with those boys. They're a lot faster than the girls, and I had to catch up to them. And so all of a sudden, something took over in my mind. I'm like, I got to go do this. And so I go out and I run with them half mile out. And they're like, hey, coach, nice to see you run with us. I'm like, yeah. And so we're running, and then we turn around and we run back. And it was so great because at the end of it, I could see the progress of the last few weeks. And what had happened was when we were on vacation, it seemed like both places where we were at, we were on top of a hill, which is great for the views were wonderful. It's awesome. The problem is when you go run, you have to go downhill. In order to get back home, you have to go uphill, right? Like, so the one run that I took, I went out and it was a mile downhill. That meant I had a full mile going uphill on the way back. And it was really hard, and it was really not fun. That's not fun training. And yet, yesterday was the fruit that I could see. You know what, Aaron? It was worth doing that, even though it was really hard, because you were able to run with those boys in that 6 mile yesterday. I share that not to brag, because I'm not that fast. I share that because of the evidence. All right, there's evidence in your life. And what is the evidence showing about your training? You can hide it. That's what I love about running too. The truth is, you can tell me all day that you've been running and you come out the first time and you run with us, I'll know if that's true or not. You can have all the gadgets and all the gizmos. You can have all the Bible studies. You can have all your schedule full. But what is your life reflecting? What does your life show? Is there evidence that you're growing in godliness? Our fourth point is this: godliness trains us for more than this life. Godliness trains us for more than this life. As Paul finishes this verse, he tells us that godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. There's an eternal value here. And one of the things that I think we can easily become distracted, so distracted in our training that we lose sight that there is an eternity that's coming. We're not going to be here forever. Paul says, let me give you something that will be of eternal value. He says here that ultimately he helps us to understand everything else we are training for eventually expires. Think about it. Our bodies, our career, our possessions, even our accomplishments. We just walked through the book of Ecclesiastes, didn't we? Right? And what did we see? That everything under the sun is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. It's grabbing that smoke and trying to control it. The truth is, just as we saw there in Ecclesiastes, we see Paul helping us and reminding us here that we need to train for something that lasts, something that matters now and forever. And this causes us to ask different questions. It causes us to think different. It's part of that training of our heart where we start looking and we start pondering. And as we ask different questions, we don't ask, man, how will this make my life easier? We ask, what is making me more like Jesus? We don't ask, what's going to help me be comfortable here? We say, what is training my heart and moving me to be more like Jesus? To move my heart towards Him. We don't ask, what can I accomplish? We ask, who am I becoming? And so let me ask you this. What questions are you asking? Are you asking questions about here and now, or are you asking eternal questions? Things that go way beyond just now. Now is important, but eternity has far more worth. As we look at this, it can be easy for us to start to make a list and just do it. But I want to remind us here on the heels of what we've seen this morning about the importance to remember grace. Remember grace, and grace is not earned. Grace is given. Training is not about earning anything. It's about responding to what we already have and what we already know. It is looking at and saying, the reason for my efforts, the reason why I train my heart, it's because I know that God loves me. It's not I'm trying to earn God's love for me. My training in godliness says, God, I cannot believe that you love me so much. It is amazing, your grace, your faithfulness, your love. And because of that love, I'm not trying to earn it. You're helping me to see my life as your child. I want to live my life as your child, living and experiencing that grace. And in return, I want to reflect your love to others. I want to reflect you so that people can see you through me. It's learning to live as God's child, like someone who already knows and someone who already believes in what He's done for you. Do you live that way? I hope you do. There's a difference between trying to work your way versus experiencing God's grace, having the knowledge and the understanding that there's no way you can ever earn God's love. It is because of His wonderful and great grace. That's why we train, because we know He loves us. A little bit of review here. Three questions. What am I feeding? Regularly putting in your heart what is shaping what you desire. not because you desire, but because the Spirit of God is inside of you producing that, saying there's something deeper I want, and feeding that craving. Not the craving that the world tells you, but the craving of godliness. What are you practicing? Repeated habits that are moving my heart, moving your heart continually towards Christ. And then what needs to change? I want to encourage you that you would choose one practice to begin or to remove intentionally for the purpose of training your heart towards godliness. In the weeks to come, we're going to be talking about practicing. Today, we talk about training because it begins with our heart. Our heart is where it all starts. You can practice all you want and your heart still be far from God. That was what Jesus had against the Pharisees. They knew the law. They had it all. And while their lips said all the right things, their heart was far from God. I don't want you to just do all the right things. I want your heart to be right in tune with the Lord. You are becoming someone. Every choice, every habit, every repeated response, every yes and every no, you are continually becoming someone. Who is that? We can spend our entire lives training for things that do not last, while all the time neglecting the person that we are becoming. This is huge. This is what our lives as Christ followers is all about. Train yourself for godliness. Not because God is waiting for you to become good enough, but because God Himself is worthy of pursuing. Maybe your first step towards godliness and practicing it isn't dynamic. Maybe tomorrow morning it's just taking 10 minutes with God. Maybe it's turning something off. Maybe it's opening up God's word before you open your phone. Maybe it's finally establishing a rhythm of prayer. Maybe it's saying no to something that's been controlling you. Whatever it is, don't merely try to become godly. Train your heart. Train your heart towards God. Listen to Him. Seek Him. Because the truth is, the satisfaction that our heart yearns for isn't found in this world. The satisfied life isn't found by finally getting everything your heart wants. No, the satisfied life is found when your heart learns to want God. That's why godliness with contentment is great gain. And so what are you doing today that is training your heart to desire God today and tomorrow? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thanks for the opportunity to open up Your word. Lord, look at this passage. Lord, training is easy to talk about. And there are some great days, and then there are hard days. Lord, I'm thankful that we don't have to train alone. We have the body of Christ that we get to train together. And yet, Lord, it is each one of us and our decisions and our choices that will choose to train our heart towards you or towards ourselves or towards the world. Lord, I pray that you would convict us in the areas that need to change. Help us to pursue you, not because we're trying to earn your love, Lord, but because we already have your love. We already experienced the joy of being your child. And Lord, my prayer is if there's someone sitting here today who hasn't yet accepted Jesus as their Savior, that they would do that so that they may experience the fullness of your love, the fullness of your forgiveness that comes when we admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior, that comes to us when we realize that Jesus is our perfect sacrifice, who died on the cross, who we believe was buried and rose again 3 days later, who conquered sin and death, and who gives us life eternal. Lord, thank you for that love. Thank you for that life that comes to us. Thank you for our relationship that takes place because of your great grace. And it's because of that grace that spurs us on to live a life of faith, to live a life of godliness, pursuing you. So train our hearts, Lord. Help us to train our heart to become more like you. Help us to do the things that we know we should do. Help us to stop the things that we know are not helpful. All the while, Lord, help us. Help us in our hearts and our attitude. We don't want to just try. We want to do it. We want to be what you desire for us to be. So, Lord, we give you the full freedom and access of our hearts and our lives to change us, to mold us, to use our circumstances and the people and the things around us to help us to become more like Christ, to be godly, knowing that the benefits are not only for now, but they're for all of eternity. We pray this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.